This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day.
Today we have Mike and Dean of Van Holt. They are, or have been, missionaries to China. I am really impressed in the Spirit, Lord, about this ministry. This is something, my God. This is something that the world needs to hear. And we love you, Father, for what you've done in these people. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jim. So thankful that you'd have me on today, and look forward to sharing with you what God's been doing in our life the last 23 years.
23 years. Let's see, that was about 2000 you started then.
Yes, we've been in ministry 22 years out of that time, and it was really a profound encounter that happened January 20th of 2000 that really changed our life forever.
The thing that amazes me, this really got me. God spoke to you and told you to go. You pulled up stakes, sold everything, quit, and moved under that amazing thing, go. That's what God told you, go.
It was just a profound, radical encounter that we had, that first meeting, where everything within us was changed from the inside out. And, you know, we just really so got to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and our best friend, and we could not love him enough, and we just felt so loved by him. And one blessing that we received was such a gift of hunger that has stayed with us to this day, just hungering for more of him and anything that he would call us to. And so, yeah, there was some time of preparation and just further encounters with the Lord and powerful prayer times and just divine worship that led us to just be so ready to be launched out on the mission field. We were feeling his calling and following him to the nation of China, and it was purely him. He did it all, and we were probably some of the worst prepared missionaries. He transplanted our heart there, and it was just a glorious time. This was such a special situation in that when we left for China, we did not know the language. We did not have any formal financial support. We didn't have a ton of contacts. We knew one person that said we could volunteer in the city organization they were at. That's it. And so we landed there without any plan to do anything big. It just is something the Lord grew and multiplied over the years. And we just knew not to despise small beginnings. And so we just started to humbly serve and volunteer any way we could at the local orphanages.
That's the thing. You said you were some of the worst prepared missionaries. I love that story because, of course, I've been in similar places, maybe not quite as dramatic as you. But when you went to China with a couple suitcases and a box of Legos, that really struck me because my son loves Legos. We were that poor when my wife and I started out. I mean, when we started out, we did things in faith. And of course, as I look back, people wonder, well, what are they doing? They're crazy. And well, maybe we were. Tell me, I was interested in personal walk with the Lord and in China.
Our personal walk with him just grew so much as we served there. Like I said, we followed him there. We were there for him. Of course, we have such a love for the nation and for the people and the culture. But ultimately, it was just learning to know him even more. And you know, it's just as the word says, you know, we come to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings and in the power of his resurrection. And we saw a lot of extremes in our life on the field there. And so we learned so much about how we could trust him. You know, it was, to us, trust is different than faith. And we just grew in relationship to him and knew how to better hear his voice and discern what he was calling us to do and how to do it. And when we would do the best to follow him and as he would show us those instructions and follow that out, we just saw so much happen, way, way more than we ever would have dreamt. And it was just lives being changed. And again, through it all, just seeing him work with the power of his love to touch some of the most impossible cases of children and people. And yeah, it was just glorious getting to know his heart for just one child, what he would do, and just wrecked us time and time again to see the love of the Father demonstrated, you know, in so many different ways. And so, you know, just valuable times. It was not easy, but we wouldn't trade it for anything because of how we got to know him and grow closer to him.
Well, as I said earlier, even my start wasn't very glamorous. I can't say it's very glamorous now, but you get drawn to the heart of the Lord. You know his love. You experience his presence. You experience a relationship. I'd have to say that's the best that you can get.
Sure is. It's priceless. It's what we're all here on the earth for. It's just to know him and to worship him and, you know, follow whatever he's leading in our life. And, you know, we had thought we'd be in China forever, and we're okay with that. But it ended up where we had to leave country, but we never left him. You know, he knew our time was limited, and looking back, he never told us it would be a lifelong call. We just had that feeling and that leading that we thought was how things were going to be. And even in that, we see the wisdom of God, because the beginning years were so tough that we probably would have quit and given up if we knew our calling there had any expiration date. But the best we knew, it was for life. And so we were determined to be faithful to the Lord and just persevere no matter whatever it took. And so, yeah, just so many lessons learned, and so thankful for it all.
So your commitment, when you went there, you said, this is for life. This is for my life.
Both my wife and I would say we had that feeling like it was a lifelong call. The Lord never specifically said that. It just, that was the impression we went with, and we were good with that. We had fully committed our family to serve there the rest of our lives.
They're beautiful people there.
Yeah, it's just amazing. We just love them, and thankfully we're still in touch with many of them today.
What is China like now? What is happening there? Maybe a testimony or two. And then, what's going on in China, and why aren't you there now?
Yeah, you know, I know many people could speak hours on both of those things, and so just a personal testimony. Just one child. I mean, there's so many that we have countless testimonies of God's miraculous power and his love touching children. You know, the Lord sent us to the dying rooms and to the least likely to survive, the ones that had multiple disabilities, and they were on death's doorstep, and we were allowed access and able to intervene and bring them into our home, and many times right into our own bedroom. And my wife and I would nurse them and take care of them through the night, day and night. But one particular girl we had found her. She was in a room where she was, intentionally left to die. And we were given the ability to take her home, even though they advised us not to, because she was so near death. And we brought her home and just loved on her and prayed for her. And she got better, and she was stronger for several weeks, and I think it was about a month and a half after we had her, she was back in the hospital with a severe pneumonia and some other complications, and she had heart issues as well, and so with all that was going on, and she was fighting so hard to stay alive, the doctors pressured us to sign the death certificate, even though she had not yet passed. But this doctor that was working with us was ending his shift, and he pressured us to do it, we said, no, we're going to continue to pray and believe that she'll live. And so the next day when he, you know, came back to work, he realized she hadn't died, but she got better through the night. Then she was discharged from the hospital within 24 hours after that.
Oh, beautiful.
And this little girl not only did not die that second time, but continued to heal and develop. And pretty soon we had requested that she could be put on international adoption list. And sure enough, she was adopted by an amazing Christian family that just loves her to pieces and brought her to the States to give her a wonderful life. And so just to see children like that, so many of them void of any feeling or emotion, lifeless in a steel crib, left to die. But God, through his love and his power, would just totally change them and heal them. And to see them grow and thrive has been just no greater reward than that. And so we did that for year after year for, you know, more than 130 children and so many adoptions. And we were growing and things were progressing. And over the years, the 16 years we were there, we saw different cycles in the government where sometimes they were more strict as far as freedoms, what little there was, in just more of a tightening and a loosening of the government throughout different periods and cycles. But then shortly before 2020, we saw something coming through the government that was much different. It was a different policy. We had the feeling like they wanted to go more back to pure communism. And what that meant was, you know, just to again make all the foreigners to leave and to increase persecution on Christians and not allow anybody really to be involved in any type of volunteer work, that they would take control over all of that. And so for us as, you know, Christian volunteers, we were definitely on the list to leave and to be closed down. And God had given us favor all the way to the end, and much more favor that we were some of the last missionaries to leave the nation. But ultimately, even for us, they knew us, they trusted us, they respected us, but they said because of national policy, our local government said that, look, there's just no way we can work with you guys anymore. We're having so much pressure from the national level on down that forced to leave. And everybody else had left a year or two before us, you know, that were doing a similar work. And so the nation's really changed dramatically in the last 5 years. And it's a different country. In the beginning, we were very much welcomed and honored as a foreigner and loved by the people. And many of those things are still the same as far as, you know, the people, especially those that we know. But what the government has done to attempt to change the nation again has really put a lot of lies and distrust towards foreigners. And so, yeah, it's just a whole different change in policy and the way the country is run today versus when we first landed there in 2005.
I started out as a child listening to Bob Hammond every day. He was a missionary to China. And so as the communists made things change, I got to grow up listening to him of all that was going on. And I want to know more if you can tell me more. Another testimony of what God was able to do while you were there, while you and Dana were there.
Another testimony of what?
Yes, could you tell us more? Tell us another testimony.
This was a typical scene in that we were driving to orphanages around our province, and we would just be able to meet countless children, knowing we could only take a few at a time. And so on this particular visit, we had pretty much received our limit of children, but we're in a room and different ages of children. And we walked by this one boy who was facing the wall in his chair and kind of huddled in the corner. And we asked the staff, you know, what's his problem? And they said, oh, he's blind and he's dumb and nobody likes him. And what we realized was he was hiding himself in the corner because the other children would just come by and beat him. And he couldn't see it coming because he's blind, of course. And he's just, yeah, subject to their cruelty and whatever the other kids wanted to do to him. And so even though we weren't planning to take any more children, we just felt the justice heart of God tell us this one needs to come home. So they said yes, we could have him in our care. We loaded him up and drove home. And it was a beautiful car ride. He was calm and seemed happy to be with us, and he felt peace. And as soon as we got on the gate of our property, it was like all the demonic force within him let loose, and he really went crazy. And it was really hard to deal with him. He refused to eat or drink, and he would just have these fits of rage. And we knew it was a spiritual battle, so we were trying to pray through that. But he would be up, especially at nighttime hours were the hardest, and he'd be up all night thrashing about through the room. And so my wife and I would try to literally sleep holding him and try to get some sleep ourselves. And it was just a miserable case, and he was tormented and not eating. And at one point, my wife was just holding him and felt led to worship. And as she was singing, she realized he calmed down and just kind of began to relax into her arms. And she kept singing and singing. And then pretty soon she realized there was a tear in his eye, and then more tears, and just the flood of emotion and all of the pain that he was carrying for all those years came out. And it was just such a sovereign healing from the Lord. And we named this young boy Sonny. And from that day, Sonny was so happy. You know, he had so much the joy of the Lord that he would just dance around saying, Jesus makes me happy, 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 happy. And he was just transformed, you know, and delivered by God's love, you know, as we cared for this boy, and he began to eat again and gain weight and become stronger and healthier. And so we cared for him so many years right in our own home, and you know, became really close to Sonny. And what a testimony of God's love and power in action again.
My, that's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, that's beautiful. Beautiful. I want to hear more.
Yeah, so many stories like that. You know, I think in a similar setting, there was a young gal. Again, we weren't planning to take her, but we walked by her crib, and she let out this cry like, hey, don't pass me by. And she looked somewhat normal from, you know, just the looks from her face. And again, the nurse there that was caring for her said, oh, you don't want this one. She's missing so many limbs. And she was, you know, missing both for arms, you know, from I think like the elbow down, and missing one leg, and just had lots of other issues going on. But she reached out to us and grabbed a hold of us and would not let us go. And we just felt like, yeah, she was another one that needed to come home. And as we cared for her and the life that she carried inside of her, and the joy and the tenacious spirit, none of her disabilities ever stopped her. She would run around the house and get around the best she could. Nothing stood in her way. She never seemed limited by her disabilities, but just always would physically be so active and so full of life and joy. And again, she was adopted by a beautiful family, and we've got to see her grow up here in the States and, you know, now attend high school and have such a bright future ahead of her. But yeah, we could have easily passed her by. We could have, you know, easily said, oh, you know, with her missing limbs, that would be difficult. But you know, so many times we just realize God never looked at us that way. You know, we were a mess when he reached down and touched us, and we didn't deserve it either. But just the same way he loved us, we tried to love these children he put in front of us, and we were privileged to see such radical transformation, and we always felt more blessed than they were. And people so many times would come and say, oh, these children are so lucky to have you, and what would they do without you? And we would say, no, you don't understand. We are the ones that are blessed. We have been changed so much by their story, their personality, and who God made them to be, and how they've impacted our lives forever. So it's, you know, just a wonderful calling that we're privileged to follow the Lord there.
My, what you told me, really, it touched my heart, and I identify with some of that. I identify. So your ministry now, what are you doing now?
Well, the ministry that we started, Loaves and Fishes International, is still going on, and we're still able to help multiple children in different nations in so many different ways. Since coming back to the States, the beginning of 2021, through that nonprofit, we've been able to really mentor a lot of people and be mothers and fathers spiritually to many, as well as continuing to help vulnerable children. And so that nonprofit still is going to this day. But a few months after returning to the States, I was offered a position with Global Awakening. And so I've been working in that position now about 2.5 years. And recently, my wife has also accepted a position with them as the director of the Supernatural School. And so now we're both on staff full-time with Global Awakening.
Wonderful, wonderful. Some years ago, when Max Myers was the school administrator, he would send people to us that had testimonies, and we'd put them on the radio.
My wife is the director of that school, and I'm the director of the network.
Okay.
Yes, I will pass that along to both my wife and our COO, Josh Clark.
Sure, sure. So that would be just great. Mike, if you would tell people how to get in touch with you.
I'll give you my contact information, then I'll share with you just our personal heart on some things that have come up since we've been by the, here in the States, and then I'd be honored to pray. The website we have is www.loavesandfishesintl.com. That's loavesandfishesintl.com. And then my work email with Global Awakening is mike.vanthul, V-A-N-T-H-U-L, at globalawakening.com. So if you have any questions for me either way, you can go onto the website and contact us that way or email me directly, and I'd be glad to correspond with you. You know, one thing I'll share with you is when the doors were open to us in China, And we went, we were so glad that the Lord directed us to do what we could during that time period, because the situation there is so much different right now, and it would be impossible to do what we're doing, what we did then, now. But, yeah, there were so many children that needed help, and we responded from the Lord's prompting. But then when we came back to the States, and, you know, what he did in our hearts didn't stop. And so we're looking at the needs of vulnerable children here in the States, and we started to just learn what are the needs of children here in the U.S. And we may not call them orphanages, you know, we'll call them group homes or whatever type of label you want to put on it. But there's so many children in the foster care system here in the States, and we looked at the needs where we lived in Florida, and you know, it's a retirement area and fairly wealthy, affluent area. We didn't think that the needs would be too high. And, oh, we were amazed how high the numbers were and what the drastic need were for people to care for children. And again, it's God's heart that we as the church respond. He tells us so many times in Scripture that we are to care for the orphans and the widows. It's not the government's job, but it's His body that's meant to reach out and care for them. So I want to pray accordingly. Father, as You were so gracious and merciful to do for Dina and I pray that those listening today would feel Your heart and feel Your prompting, Holy Spirit, to reach out to help one life at a time, to make a difference one child at a time. And there's needs, Lord, in every county here in the U.S. and in the nations. And it just works if we all do our part, whatever You're calling us to do, and just do that. So I pray, God, that that grace will be given as they step out. We know many times we want to wait for that grace and for everything to be perfect, and it just never happens. But as we step out in faith, that You meet us and You empower us. So, God, I do pray for Your leading to be upon people's hearts, that they realize the blessing just to stop for the one and to serve the vulnerable children that are all around us, some even being trafficked right in our own cities. God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and break our heart for what breaks Your heart. In the name of Jesus, I pray that You would touch everybody with Your love today. Bless them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Fill them with Your love and empower them to go to the least of these and give that love away. In Jesus' name, amen.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
So, until we meet again, God bless you.
All passengers boarding for Global Air Force are now boarding at KK1.